You can do that as we read it together standing. I love that. That's a whole bunch of little blessings you hear running down there. Hey, I'll be serious, guys. There's a lot of places that don't have kids anymore in their churches. And we're blessed to have a whole bunch of kids, and I love that. Mark 14:36. While you're turning there, also the last song and our invitation song today, I talk with Tristan every week kind of about what I'm going to be preaching about. And I gave him those two song titles. I think, hey, this would probably fit in. And he said, it's perfect. I was thinking the same thing. So it's about adoption today. It's what I'm going to talk about. And more specifically, Abba Father, when that's mentioned in Scripture. So Mark 14:36 says this. And he said, Abba Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again this morning that I'm here with my brothers and sisters, and I'm excited to be here today. And Lord, I want you to be honored and glorified today by the preaching of your word. And Lord, there are things here that we can learn and look at. And Lord, I thank you for the adoption. I thank you for adopting us into your family and saving us. And Lord, we want to glorify and honor you today. It's in your son's Jesus' name that I do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so today's Father's Day. And you know, typically on Father's Day, we always want to honor the fathers that are in our lives. And you know, there's so many different directions you can go on Mother's and Father's Day and all of that, and on Family Sunday. And I could preach a sermon this morning about the 10 steps of knowing. I think we all need those refresher courses. I do. I just got through reading a book by John MacArthur called Being a Father Who Leads. Amazing book. So many things that convicted me in that. And so I could preach about that, and I could be right in doing so. And we need those sermons. We do. Scripture clearly tells us as fathers that we should take care of our families and support our families. And if we're not, it says we're worse than unbelievers. And so I could hammer down on that. But I also thought this week, you know, if I see someone in this congregation or likewise myself who isn't taking care of their family, I think there's men here and our elders would point that out. And so I don't want to preach about that because I want, you know, I want to preach to my brothers and sisters this morning. Hopefully I'm going to teach you something today. There's three times in Scripture that the term Abba Father is used. I want you to turn to the other two, and then we'll start getting into the meat of this. The next one is in Romans 8:15. Jesus says it once, and in the context of what he said it in Mark 14, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's distressed because he knows what's coming. And he prays to the Father that all things are possible and remove this cup from me, but I want to do your will and follow your will. And then there's two other times in Scripture where we see Abba Father mentioned. The first one is in Romans 8:15, it says this, Paul says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The next one is in Galatians, so turn to Galatians if you would, Galatians chapter 4. It's in verses 1 through 5. I know we got a lot of scripture opening here, but I want to make sure we understand the context of these words and why they were spoke. And today, as you're turning there, like every Sunday, we want to honor God by preaching the Word. And I want to thank Him and honor Him for this adoption that He offers us, that He gives us, that He has been adopting sons and daughters, millions of them throughout history. So Galatians 4, 1 through 5 says this, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we are children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So those are the three times in Scripture that we see that this is used. Abba, Father. The one and only God, the creator of the universe, the God of the Bible. And so I did a little bit digging this week, and there's literally a whole bunch of names for God in Scripture. I want to go through some of these. Adonai refers to God as a powerful ruler. Yahweh is the principal name in the Old Testament. Theos is God for Greek. Kyrios is a Greek name for Lord in the New Testament. Emmanuel attributes salvation, and those are attributes that were attributed to Jesus. El Shaddai is Almighty God. And of course, you have Alpha and the Omega, which is the beginning and the end. The chief cornerstone, which is referring to Jesus. The Comforter, referring to the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity. And literally, that's just naming a few. There's literally like so many more. So I want to get back to Abba Father. And a lot of people think this is another name for God or another characteristic. And there's a huge debate on this too. And I hope to settle a little bit of that debate. I even asked someone yesterday, what does Abba Father mean? And they said, well, it means daddy. That is a huge, huge thought that came. Let me explain why that's out there. It does not mean daddy. So let me put that to rest right now. In 1971, there was a book written by a Lutheran theologian named Jeremias. And he was a New Testament scholar, and he said that Abba there was the chatter of a small child. So many, many people ran with the thought that Abba Father meant daddy. And we've been talking about that for decades, that's what it says. But that's not what it means. In Aramaic, Jesus was speaking Aramaic, and in Aramaic it means father. So when Jesus says Abba Father, he's saying father twice. He's saying father, father. He's saying it twice. So why would Jesus in Mark 14 say father, father twice and not just once? So I ask a question, why would he do that? Well, we know throughout Scripture that when Jesus wanted to add emphasis on something, what would he do? He would say twice. He would say truly, truly, or verily, verily. He would repeat the word. So it could be here that Jesus was adding emphasis that he was from the Father. Father, Father, he wanted to make sure that everybody knew, and this is a prayer that he's praying, which we get to read in Mark 14, that he's saying, Father, Father, he's saying, I'm from the Father. I am the Son of the Father, which he did numerous times throughout Scripture. We also see in Revelation 4:8 another example of using a word over, over, and over. In Revelation 4:8, the word holy is used three times, added emphasis. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and is to come. Why? Why three times? We want to make sure we understand that God is holy. It's important. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So we see that used word three times. So Jesus, when he says Father, Father, could very well be meaning and make sure that we would understand that he came from the Father and was God's Son. Which we've read throughout John, as I've preached through John, that Jesus wanted to make sure everybody knew exactly who he was. He didn't want to leave any doubt in anyone's mind about who he was communicating. And that was a huge deal. Saying that you are God's son was a huge deal. That was a huge deal to the Jews. And they didn't like him for it. They hated him for it. Turn to John chapter 5. We preached through this. It's probably been a couple of months ago now. But John chapter 5, verses 17 and 18... John 5, 17 and 18 says this, but Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So they hated him for that. So the context in those verses is Jesus had just healed a man on the Sabbath, and the Jews were upset with him. They were upset about it. So Jesus, we see that Jesus claims that he is God's son, which makes him equal with the Father. That's a huge thing. That's a huge statement. So that's one way that we could see that why Jesus would say, Abba, Father. Now for us, why would Paul say that? Why would Paul say that? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8 because that's where we started with Paul. What does this mean for us? Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. The context here is Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit taking over our lives. So let's read it, 12 through 17. So then, brothers, as we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified with him. So what does that mean? What does that mean here? The context is he's talking about the spirit and the flesh. Now he's saying if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are sons of God. That's a huge deal. Verse 15, for if you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons. We're going to talk about some more. We're really going to father. So what does that mean for us? That's an amazing thing. And this is what we're going to talk about some more. We're really going to talk about adoption because that's the context here. That's an amazing thing that we have been adopted into God's family. We are God's children. That is an amazing thing to think about, that you are, that you, my brothers and sisters, are children of the Creator of the universe, that he adopted you into this family. That he adopted you. We are God's children. How do we know that? How do we know that we're God's children? What does verse 16 say? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. The Holy Spirit bears witness that we are adopted into this family. I was talking with the young man I'm discipling this morning about salvation and being born again. When you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit, and that testifies that you are a son of God. Now, here's the thing. Let's make this kind of practical this morning. The Spirit bears witness. Let me ask you, we're adopted into this family. How many of you have ever adopted a child? Raise your hand. There's a few of us in here. Me being one of them. I have. And for Father's Day, what an amazing opportunity that was. So I want to talk about adoption this morning and look at just a couple of things that it means to be sons of God, that he adopted us in. And the first thing here is that God did the work. God did the adopting. He did the adopting. When I had the opportunity 16 years ago to adopt Sierra, there was no greater honor for me to get to do that. There's, as for her and Mother Day, there's no joy that I can put into words. Raising her and my other kids and clearly making mistakes as a father, but raising her and seeing her, her faith, to share her faith at school, and now at work, and in our community today. I'm very, very thankful that God put her in my life and that I'm blessed to raise my kids. And as fathers today, we should be very thankful for the gift that our kids are to us and the blessing that they are to us. But there's one thing in me adopting Sierra that she couldn't do. You see, she couldn't force me to adopt her. She couldn't force it. I had to be the one to do it. I had to be the one to reach down and grab her up and do it. And let me say this morning, we can't force God. No matter how, and let me put this into a little bit more context. No matter how we want, so desperately want people to be saved and then to come to believing faith, all we can do is plant seeds and pray for them. And that the Holy Spirit, that God, will work in their life. God is sovereign. He's the ruler, creator of the universe. Turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. We've got several verses I want to read here. Romans chapter 9. We're actually going to read 16 verses. This is a sermon I want you to be thankful this morning for what God did for you, that he adopted you in. Romans 9, 1 through 16, Paul says this, and I'm going to read all of them because they're important. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promise. To them belong the patriarchs, and their race, according to the flesh, is Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. But it is not enough through the word of God as though the word of God has failed. Let me stop there. What Paul's saying is, I want my fellow brothers from Israel to be saved. I want them to be saved. I have a desire for them to believe in Jesus. And as Christians today, you know what? Listen, as we go on this mission trip, for us that are going, our desire should be to share the gospel and that people would be saved and repent and turn from their sins. And guys, that should be, we should have sorrow and compassion in our heart for the people outside that are lost and dying. You know, when I see, and I know this month is like the whole Pride Month thing, and there's a big thing where everyone's celebrating sexual immorality in our country. When I look at that, I don't get angry. When I look at that and I see people celebrating open sin and rebellion against God, my heart breaks. Because when I see those parades and I see those people, you know what I see? I see people dying and going to hell. And I see them one day standing before God and saying, "Why did I do that? Why did somebody just not share the truth with me? Oh, I wish I knew the truth." And it's our responsibility to share that truth, to share the truth of God's word, because people are saved by the word being preached and the Holy Spirit working. And that's Paul here. Paul's in anguish over people that aren't saved. Verse 6, "But it is not though as the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all children of Abraham because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said, 'About this time next year I will return, and Sarah will have a son.' And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born, had done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls. She was told, 'The older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated.' What then shall we say? Is there injustice this on God's part? By no means, for he says to Moses, 'I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, I will have compassion on whom I have compassion.' So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy." So Paul's saying, I want them to be saved. I want them to be saved. I have a desire for them. I want them to be saved. But it's not about my slick words. It's about the Holy Spirit working in their life. That God working and taking over, that they're saved. You see, God in his mercy and love reached down, brothers and sisters, and adopted us into his family. He sent his Holy Spirit to convict our hearts, to soften our hearts to his word. And here's the thing, if we're honest this morning, we don't deserve adoption. We don't deserve adoption. If you're being honest with yourself this morning, and something that should humble you, I preached about humbleness last night and being poor in spirit. Something that should humble you and make you poor in spirit is that you don't deserve adoption. If you're being honest this morning, you deserve hell. And that's what Scripture says. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death. So my wage and what I earn is death." That's our wage. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. that, man, that's awesome. That we have a God that has so much love and mercy, picks us up from death and hell, and adopts us into his family. There's no, talk about love, there's no greater love than that. That we deserve something and we get something else. That is a reason to get excited about Christ. And fall down on your knees and weep for joy. And thank him. If that's not a reason to get excited, there's not one. There's not one. That's a reason to shed some tears and be emotional. And to love the Lord with everything. It's a life-changing thing to be able to call the one true God our Father. That is an amazing thing. That he no longer deals with us as enemies. He doesn't deal with us in our sin. Instead, we approach him with what? With boldness. That the creator of the universe adopted us into his family. Not by our own merits. Listen, Sierra didn't do anything for me to deserve me adopting her. Anybody who's adopted somebody, they don't do anything. You do it because you have compassion and you love them. It's the same way. We didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't do anything. God showed his mercy and his love. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. What does this mean for us? Hebrews chapter 10. What does this mean for us and our relationship? Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from evil conscience, and let our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he is who is promised is faithful. We can approach him with boldness. The creator of the universe, we can approach him with boldness in his throne because he adopted us in as children. Here's the second thing on this. Unfortunately, not all are adopted. Not all are adopted. Many people today claim that all people are children of God. I heard a sermon this week from a church in this town where the pastor said it, that we're all children of God. So I know that that lie is out there. And it's not just it's not true. It's not true. That is a lie from hell that keeps people thinking that they are free to live how they want to live. And they can do whatever they want to do. And they're children of God, and we'll all walk into heaven one day, and we'll all be happy, and that is not true. We all, everyone, every human is his creation under his authority and lordship, and we will all be judged by him, but we are not all children of God. One day, every knee is going to bow to him, and Scripture tells us that. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. So that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Does that mean that we're all sons of God, his heirs, his children? No, no. Only those that have professed him as Lord and Savior. So this lie that we all worship the same God, that it's even starting to get out there. I heard this week that, and I hope, I haven't read the context, but I heard a very prominent Southern Baptist leader say that, read an article that he said that the Muslims worship the same God that we do. I haven't read the whole context, but that's not true. If he says that the way it sounds like, that's not true. So this lie that we worship the same God and that there's many ways to heaven is a lie. It's a lie. We are adopted, and not all are going to be adopted. Hey, does that give us room to boast? What does Paul say? I would never boast in myself. I would boast in Christ. Does that mean to say that we should, hey, look at me, I'm a follower and you're not, or look what I am? No, absolutely not. It should cause you to fall down on your knees and thank the Lord Jesus Christ for convicting your heart. And what does that do to you? It humbles you. That should be your attitude, not one of boastfulness that, look at me, I'm a Christian. It shouldn't be that, look at that outside world, they're evil and we hate them. No, it should be that we want to love them and we care about them and we have compassion. Because when we see people that are celebrating sin and we see them living in open rebellion against God, it should cause us to be broken inside and want to do what? Share the gospel with them. Because how are people saved? By hearing the word. Faith comes from hearing. To share the gospel with them. So that God can work in their life. To be obedient. So this lie that we are all children of God. That's what it is. It's a lie. It's not the truth. It's not the truth. The right to be called a child of God and call him Abba Father is something that only born-again Christians have. That's it. John 1, 12 and 13 says this, But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I want you to read this verse again. But to all who did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. That is who are God's children. Those who are born again followers of Christ. When we are born again, we are adopted into the family of God. Redeemed by this curse of sin, by the work that Jesus did on the cross. It's not about us, it's about him. So we can't believe a lie or spread a lie that everyone's a child of God. Because it's not true. Listen, third thing, I don't even have it in my notes. It's not my job to decide who's a child and who's not. That's God's. God is the judge. It is appointed unto man to die, and after that comes judgment. We all have an appointment in this room. One day we're all going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the judge, not Jeff. Not anybody else. What's my responsibility here on this earth? To share the love of Christ. To evangelize. To share the gospel. To preach the gospel. To teach the gospel. But here's the thing. In doing that, if I do that, I have to share the truth. And I share the truth because we love people. Because I don't want to see someone. Listen, I would never want to stand before the Lord and had an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody and didn't. I would never want to go to someone's funeral that died and me had an opportunity to share the gospel with them and I didn't. So I have to share the gospel with people. I have to preach the word. And I just sow the seeds and I let God do the work. I let God do the work. And those that are brought into the family are brought in. And those who aren't, I don't despise them or hate them. I'm broken for them. Just like Paul, I want to be broken for those who are dying and headed to hell. So we are all not adopted in. Do I know who's going to become a follower of Christ and who isn't? No, I don't. Do I know if somebody is in this room or isn't? No, I don't. God does. He knows our thoughts and our intentions of our heart. He knows where we're at. So in closing today, I want to ask you, are you a child of God? Have you been adopted into his family? Jesus said in Matthew 11:15, he who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. Those who has ears, let him hear. You may be here today, and right now your ears are shut. You have sin in your life that is creating such a barrier. Your ears are closed, and the last thing on your mind is Father's Day. Mama drug you here, and you're looking at your watch going, I cannot wait for this guy to shut up so I can get out of here. If that's you this morning, if you have ears, let you hear. We all have an appointment. We're all going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are going to take a last breath on this earth. Or you may be here today and God has opened your ears. His Holy Spirit has been working in your life, working in your heart for you to be saved. Scripture says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. He's working in your life. He's drawing you in. Confess with your mouth. You do that, you come forward this morning. You say, I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He's working in my life. I need a family. Listen, when you're adopted in, guess what you become? A family. You become a family who loves one another, who takes care of one another, who picks on one another every once in a while, but's there for each other. You're a family. Maybe that's what you need. For my brothers and sisters in Christ today, what better way to celebrate Father's Day today than to cry out to God, Abba Father? To cast your worries on Him, open your heart to Him in prayer, to worship Him, to thank Him for bringing you in to His family. I'm going to ask our team to come this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you need to come this morning and get down on your knees and turn from your sins and put your faith and trust in Christ, you can do that today. You need to come and just pray. If you got things going on in your life, I'll be more than happy to pray with you. If you'd like to pray alone, if you want to join this body of believers, if you've confessed Christ as your Savior and been baptized and you want to be a part of this local body, you can come and make those intentions known to me and we will set up a time where I'll meet with you and talk about church membership. You can do that. If you just need to get on your knees and just thank the Lord today, whatever you need to do, you can come. Let's pray and then we're going to have an invitation. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning, and I thank you for sending your Son to give us adoption into your family. I thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to convict our hearts and that we will turn our lives over to you, that we trust in your Son's perfect sacrifice on the cross. Lord, we don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve heaven because we've all sinned. We all fall short of the perfect standard. What we deserve is hell. And you've reached us and saved us. It's not by our own works. It's by what your Son did on the cross for us. And Lord, I thank you this morning for that. There's no words that I can pray or say the thankfulness that I have. Lord, I thank you for my kids on Father's Day. I thank you for my family. Thank you for the men that you've placed in my life, the women that you've placed in my life. Lord, let us be a church that follows you, that preaches the truth, not what the world wants to hear, but just what the Bible says. Let us follow you and be obedient to you because we want to honor you and our obedience will honor you. Lord, we thank you. It's in your Son's name that I pray. Amen.
Stories of what they think you're like, but I heard tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're good, good time. To you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. True love. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. All of your ways to us. to your name. May all my days bring glory to your name.
Guys, I'm not going to end this time. People still need to pray, but I do want to bring some people up. This is a great Sunday. This is a busy Sunday. I want to start with Mitch and Mandy and Baylor, if you guys would come up here this morning. I'm very proud of this young lady. Mitch called me a couple weeks ago and said, Baylor's made a profession of faith in Christ as her Savior. That's what Father's Day is about sharing your faith with your kids. And man, I'm emotional today. I don't know why, but it's awesome. Alexis, come on up here. Just stand right here next to Baylor. I'm gonna have to move this out of the way because we got a lot going on. This young lady went to youth camp this week, and she's the daughter of our youth pastor. And she went to camp this week and thought back on her life and about whether she was saved or not. And, you know, we believe in eternal security, that you don't lose your salvation. But I also always want to make sure that people know that they're saved or not. And so she thought back, and if you want to tell it, you can, or I can continue. But she thought back and decided, you know, I need to be saved. And so she made a profession of faith this week. Anything you want to say about that? No? Okay. This is McKaney, same thing. She made a profession of faith in Christ this week at youth camp. So youth camp, obviously, it was good. Austin, where's Austin? Austin, come up and stand right there. Austin, and y'all give you time to say anything if you want to, and he said, no way. Austin's in our discipleship in the Freeway House right now and going through the program, and he's being discipled, one of our elders. For our visitors this morning, we have a 14-week discipleship course. And when Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, he doesn't tell them to go and make a profession of faith and then leave them. He says, teach them all that I've commanded you. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to meet with people and teach them about God and things of God. And so one of our elders, Ian Letterman, has been meeting with Austin and going through discipleship. And Austin also has made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I love this guy's name because his name kind of describes me. Rowdy. Come on up here, Rowdy. Same thing. Rowdy, I don't know the whole background story. I know that Rowdy's been going through discipleship with Alan Greenfield, another one of our elders. And Rowdy also has said, I need to be saved. I want to make a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I believe in what he did for me on the cross. You have anything you want to say? No? All right. We're all tight-lipped this morning. That's okay. So, when we go to the river the last Sunday of the month, we're going to have some fun at the river, and I'm excited about that. So, anybody else got anything? I want to read our benediction. Anybody remember what our benediction was? I told you to memorize it, that I was going to be doing it for the next 6 months. Does anybody have it memorized yet? It's Ephesians 4:32. Anybody? Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So we're going to close in prayer this morning. I would like you to come around and congratulate all of these people on their new life in Christ, and to love them, to be there for them, and to teach them. We do that as a body of believers together. So let's close in prayer this morning, and I want you to enjoy your fathers today. Take them out and spoil them. My wife says, I spoil you every day, and she does. I get extra spoilings today. So let's go, Lord, in prayer, and you're all dismissed. Lord, I thank you today. I, I'm There's no words that I can put in the gratefulness that's in my heart and the thankfulness this morning that's there for my new brothers and sisters up here. And I want to pray for them. I ask them that you will lead, God, and direct them through your word, Lord, that they will spend time every day reading your word and learning more about you, that they will spend time in prayer, Lord, and us as a church will be there for them to teach them and help them and encourage them and to be there for them as we are living in this world, Lord. But this world is not our home. It's not our home. We're just here temporarily, and so, Lord, just to be with us as we witness to people that are not your children this week as we go on this mission trip. Let us do that with love and compassion, and that we love people. We don't hate them. We love them, and we want to share the truth of who you are with them. We want to glorify and honor you today. It's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.